Okay.
You're on.
Okay. Rambam in Shoresh Chamishi. Rambam in Shoresh Chamishi. The Rambam in Shoresh Chamishi says something which at first glance seems like a very simple, obvious statement. And that is that if there is a reason or an explanation given for a mitzvah, why there is a mitzvah, that doesn't count as a separate mitzvah. It's part of the same thing. Pamim, continues the Rambam, Yavo b'tameh mitzvot timyon lavim v'yasho behem shem mechlal ma she'imaneh b'yichud. Sometimes the way it's phrased will lead one to think that this is a lav in its own right, a separate mitzvah. For example, Zekamru, Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon asher shalachal lashul v'kachtav v'kulei, v'lo tachti et ha'aretz. So one might think, v'lo tachti et ha'aretz, amro v'lo tachti et ha'aretz, so hu tam le'isur ma'ashe kadam, ki'u yomar ki'ata im te'aseh zeh tirbe'av seid ba'aretz. So we should understand that when it continues after saying lo yuchal ba'ala rishon asher shalachal lashul v'kachta, etc., v'lo tachtiyat ha'aretz is not a law, it's an explanation. It's saying don't be machzik rishon, because then that will lead to the following situation of being machzik ha'aretz. Uke amro al techalel et bitchal laznota Belotis now aretz is not a separate law. Shamrolut is now aretz utam kiilu yomar shetam isur zeh kadesh shalotis now aretz. Right, saying don't do this because if you do it, it will lead to the following consequences. So the consequences, in other words, avoiding the consequences, saying don't do X because if you do it, then this will happen. So that second clause is not an independent law; it's an explanation for the first half. And the Rambam goes on to give a number of examples, of this type of thing. Okay, so you have a whole list. Umin mikdash lo yetzei v'lo yichalel. V'lo yichalel is not a separate law. It's saying don't leave the mikdash because by doing so, he will be mechalel. Now, like three lines from the end of this paragraph. Kvar ta'azu latenu. I just skipped over some of the examples because it just gives a whole bunch of examples. Kvar ta'azu latenu b'zeh. Okay? Others got this wrong. Kvar ta'azu latenu b'zeh sharesh. Gamkein. They messed up on this one as well. Okay, there's another attack on the Bahag. Umana elu halavim kulami buti istaklut. And they counted all of these things as lavim, even though they're not lavim, they're ta'amim. Va'amnam yevosh mi shemana otam. And the one who counted them will be embarrassed. Kishish aluhu v'yomar lo zehalav me'ezedavar mazkir. If you'll ask him, nu, what is it that's being prohibited here? So he won't know what to answer. Lo yelo az ma'aneh klal. He'll have nothing to reply. And that's the ultimate raya that you shouldn't count. Okay, that's all Shorosh Chamish, nice and short. Along comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, Va'ani Omer. And I say, Bezeitar, Masha Omrim HaChachamim. So the Ramban says, I would apply to this that which Chachamim say in the Gemara and Sukkot. L'cha'ora kavatei mashma, b'chima'ayin be'shapir, lav ha'chihu. So the Ramban says, I would apply to this what the Gemara says in Ksubos, that l'cha'ora, actually two gersot, Tosafot quotes the l'cha'ora. In any case, the point is that, without getting into the details, ostensibly it appears that way, but b'chima'ayin be'shapir, but when you really look into it well, lav hachi, it's not really the case. In other words, Ramban says that on the surface, when you first look at it, what the Rambam says seems so pashut. It seems like, of course that's true, right? I mean, of course you wouldn't count this as a separate lav. Of course the second phrase is an explanation of the first, of the actual lav. Why in the world would you count such a thing? It's a davar pashut. However, says the Rambam, when you really look into the matter, you see that far from being, you know, a case where the Rambam is saying something obvious and like, what was the Bahag thinking? When you really look at it, you see that in fact, what the Rambam is saying is not correct at all. Shelo ra'inu l'rabotenu b'talmud shi'ifisu lav lave ha'torah miyutarim liotam tam lav shekadam elim ken yavo losif o legroa kloma shelmo din mechudas minatama hu kinyan shechalku v'lo yabelo nashim v'lo yasur levavo shezeh ha'lav ha'sheni v'adai tam l'mniya shekadma ribui ha'nashim v'afo pike nechluku bo chachmei Yisrael shor b'yuhuda doresh ma tam lo yibeh mishum lo yasur v'li mei tshamar behu nashim uvad shlo yehu masirot elibo kloma shetiena bidukot kashrut. Rabbi Shimon doresh oto labas ne'atzmo. So the Ramban goes on to say that if you look throughout Shas, you see that that's not how Chazal approached this, and that where we have these type of cases where you have don't do X, and then it goes on to say and don't there, you know, essentially, and don't thereby cause the following consequence, Chacham do not seem to take it as merely an explanation of the original law, a reason for the law. Rather, they take it to be a separate statement that has to be understood as telling us some separate halacha, right? Whether it's a detail of that law, right? A further dimension of that law, or whether it's a separate law, depending on the particular case, right? But certainly to tell us something independent on its own right, and there's inherently no reason why that second thing couldn't be a lav. It depends on whether it can be subsumed under the first thing or not. But to say it's merely an explanation of the first part, it's merely giving a time, it's merely saying, don't do this because, that's not how Chazal take it ever. And the Ramban goes on to give numerous examples of this, where we don't simply take these type of things. In fact, the very cases that the Rambam talks about to be merely a tam and something that does not add an additional halachic component, but merely gives an explanation of why it is that we're being warned to do it. Okay? And just a few lines from the end, Rambam basically sums up. He says, Ela kulan miniyot b'snei asman k'far manah harav asmozal lavim shem b'not neitam yoter me'elu aval rabotenu zal osim otam miniyot. Chazal do not take them as ta'amim, but rather as miniyot, as things that we are being prohibited. You know, below tachtia aret is telling us something we shouldn't do, and Chazal explain what that something is that we shouldn't do, and the Bahag has no problems with that. Yemosha mub gemar yoma Amar Rahu Amar Rav Yehuda Hamakareya Bigde Kuhuna Lokesh Nemar Lo Yikareya. Right? Matla Rav Acham Bar Yaakov Dilma Hachikam Rachmana Avigle Safa Kihechi Dilo Likra. So Miktiv Kidesha Lo Yikra. So this discussion is much exactly, you know, the Rambam appears in this Gemara as the Havamina. Right? As, in other words, what does the Gemara say? It says that you should make a hem, and then it says, you know, lo yikareya, it shouldn't rip. So the Rambam would say, how, based on the Rambam's principle, how would we explain that, right? That you should make a hem so it shouldn't rip. What does the Gemara say? So Rafa says, name Rabbi Yehuda, that if you rip Big Day Kahuna, you get Malkot, because you violate Lo Yikareya. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov comes along and says, but one second, how do I know that that's a separate lav? Dilma Hachi Kamar Achmana, maybe this is a Pshah in the Pasuk. Avid Le Safa, Kihechi De Lo Likra. Make a hem so that it shouldn't rip. Which is exactly how the Rambam approaches it here, right? So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's kasha, right, his statement, like, why don't we say, is exactly how the Rambam approaches it here. And the Gemara's the Gemara goes on to say, "Miktiv kidei shelo yikareya." It doesn't say in order to. It says lo yikareya. So it says lo yikareya. That's a separate lav. Unbelievable, right? So the Rambam's approach is suggested in the Gemara and rejected. So what's the Rambam want from the Bahag? V'chein amru sham hamizia choshen me'al ha'ifod lo keh v'meisir badei aron lo keh uv'chulan hikshu shehem te'amim l'mitzvah shekadma d'ahoy kamarachmana avdinu shapur k'dei shlo yezuo v'shlo yasuru v'lo yasuru v'yeshivu miktiv shelo yezuo v'shelo yasuru. So you have all these cases, right, about the choshen not moving from the eifor, or that the pole shouldn't budge from the aron. In each of these cases, the Gemara suggests that maybe it means, you know, do it well so that these things should not happen. Exactly what the Rambam's approach is, and the Gemara rejects in each one of the cases. The fact that says, you know, below or low, it's a separate halacha, it's a separate law. You get malkot on it, it's not a tam. So what's the Rambam talking about? So that's a good question. What is the Rambam talking about? Right? In other words, again, the Rambam's approach, it's a very coherent approach, but it's the one that the Gemara time and time again rejects. So I want to say something very simple, really simple. But I think it's worth noting because it will help us to really, I just want to point out how there is such a tremendous coherence to the approaches of the various Rishonim in dealing with the whole concept of approaching this mitzvot, not just approaching mitzvot, but approaching much larger issues. And it really shows us how things run through, you know, one shorish after another. I'm not saying every single shorish is based on this idea, but to a very large degree, and then I want to show you that inside. Nachzor al Rishono. Let's go back to the beginning. We saw that the Rambam does not count things that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midot, from Drashot Chazal, that the Rambam does not count mitzvot that are, you know, does not count Gzeret V'Takanot, despite the fact that he believes that if you violate them, you're over literally on the lav of Lo Tasur. The Rambam does not count things that are not pshuto shel mikra, right? And running through shorish rishon, sheni, shlishi. In all these cases, to a greater or lesser degree, the Bahag would count them, and in many cases, the Ramban questions how the Rambam could say such a thing. And consistently, the answer is summed up really in one word, divayor. Okay? Divayor. That the Rambam takes the Gemara in Makos, where Reisim Loi says, Tayag mitzvot nemra Moshe b'Sinai. The Rambam understands that to mean that which is said explicitly. Okay, that which is said explicitly. The Rambam says that, of course, I believe that things that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midot have the same validity as things that are b'feirush b'kra. However, they're not nemar l'Moshe b'Sinai b'veir. They weren't said explicitly to Moshe. They had to be derived. I believe that things that are gzera b'takanot have the full force of a d'oraita, unlike what the Ramban says, because of lo tasur, but they weren't nemar l'Moshe b'Sinai b'veir. The authority is there, but the actual statement, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't told about Ner Chanukah and to tell to B'nai Yisrael, it's not... not the case. And so on down the line. The Rambam says that I'm aware that there's such a thing as a further level of understanding of the Pesukim, but only Pshuto Shel Mikra is called Nemra L'Moshe Misinai, if it's said explicitly in the Pesukim, or if it's said explicitly in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Interestingly, and so the Ramban, however, works differently. It's interesting, though, that the Ramban actually makes, you know, really clarifies this to a certain degree, and we'll see someone else who clarifies it even more, and I want to get back to Shorosh Hay and how this is helpful in understanding Shorosh Hay. The Ramban says in Shorosh Rishon, "Bachareza Omar ki Arav Hishiv al Bal Halachot Zal Arbat Shvot Yachot B'Tavot Morot Hal Vavot." Although the Ramban defends the Bahag, he says that the Rambam raises four very serious arguments against the Bahag in Shorosh Rishon, and that they are certainly thought-provoking, they're important questions that need to be thought out. Molidot Machshavot Lasher Lahem Einayim Kuchot Masnayim Shuvot. Rishona, the first point is Amar Kishiyeh Lashona Talmud Nemru Lo Moshe. So the first point the Rambam raises, says the Ramban, is how you can count things that are as Nemra L'Moshe Misinai if they're Derabbanan, if they were only instituted later. V'amnam, points out the Ramban, Baal Halachot Eino Goreske, the Bahag's Girsa is different, and in fact, if you look in the Bahag, you can see this. The Bahag has a different Girsa in the Gemara, slightly different Nusach in the Gemara. Of a nuscha shalom masati katuv, darish Rabbi Simlai sheish miel b'shalosh esrei mitzvot nitzavu Yisrael. Doesn't say nemar l'moshe misinai. Doesn't say that they were said, they were articulated. From which the Rambam gets the principle that it has to be beveir, has to be articulated, has to be beferish, has to be not only implicit but explicit. The Bahag's girsa is tarig mitzvot nitzavu Yisrael. The word command is tarig mitzvot. There's nothing about nemar l'moshe. Nothing bad. So the issue is that we were commanded, and then all of these Gemaras and Shabbos, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Tivano, and so on become very relevant, right? And you don't say, well, but it wasn't articulated then. V'lashon hazeh yichlol kol mashin stavu afilu mitrabanan u'mitzot shel divreim anu mivarachim asher kisham Chaf Tivano u'mikol makom afilu l'fi hanuschaot שכתוב בהם נמרו למוש מסיני אינו דבר רחוק ונפלא להביא בחלם מיעוץ מצלום של דבריהם משלושה תמיד. Okay, Rambam goes on. So Rambam says, even if you have the gears that the Rambam has of Nemru L'Moshe Misinai, it's still not impossible to explain the Bahag, but especially the Bahag himself does not have this gears. So here's the gears of Nistavu Yisrael. That's a little more complicated if you actually look at the Bahag, and this is something that's discussed, but we'll leave it at that for the moment. Okay. I want to show you one more thing, and then we'll get back to what Shorosh Hamishi is all about. And I believe that it ultimately is about something that has it's very, very fundamental. Okay, really fundamental. That when you're learning, we'll get back to it. Something really, really—it's just a simple point, but it's like a very far, far-reaching, comprehensive point. Before we do that, I just want to show you one more source about this concept. And then we'll come back to the machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban and Shorosh Hamishi. If you look at the second side, there are a series of tshuvot. fascinating little sefer, sort of a tshuvot, in certain editions, of not all, but certain editions of the sefer mitzvot, including this, is which is probably the best, you have at the end the debate, Shuvot, of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam on the responses to the questions and critiques of Rabbeinu Daniel Habavli on Sefer HaMitzvah. Okay, and you have both the critique of Rabbeinu Daniel Habavli and Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam's response. And it's a fascinating discussion. It's one of the, one of the most important discussions of Sefer HaMitzvah, because here you have the Rambam's son really explaining the methodology of Sefer HaMitzvah and really, responding to many, many of the questions that later you'll find in the Ramban and the Rashbeis, etc., and in other Mefarshim about Sefer HaMitzvah. Here you have the Rambam's son explaining what the Rambam was doing. And you know, to a very large degree, you'll see the same debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, and it's very, very interesting. I just want to read you one tiny, tiny piece. In Siman Aleph of this, it's called Matan Nisim, these Shubot of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, which you have on the second side here, he begins and he talks about Shorosh Rishon and the critique of the Niyal Bavli, who believes that, who defends the Bahad, critiques the Rambam, and let's just read a little bit of it. Niyal Bavli says, I don't understand why you can't include things that are Mitzvrayim, why should that not be possible to include, etc., and why in Sharsheni don't you include things that are learned from the Yigil Midot? I don't see why that can't be included in Nemrol and Moshe Messina, etc. So if you look in the middle of the page, Hatshuva Amnam Chashavta Yadrachal El Bamram Zal Tereg Mitzvot Nemrol L'Moshe Messinai Kihim Rasuba Zer Kol Masha Nemrulo L'Moshe Messinai, meaning anything that's part of Torah should be included. Al Kihim Yichol Mamar Kol Mashu Alachal Moshe Messinai V'machshava Zod Lo Nechona, but you're wrong. V'dibor Lo Yitayim, can't be. Ki L'fi Machshavtecha Lo Yitachem L'Varer K'satam N'K'satam, because according to your approach, right, which is really the approach of the Bahag and the Ramban and defending the Bahag, etc., actually Ramban's a little later, but the idea is that it says, if you're going to say that anything that's implicitly included in Nemar L'Moshe Messinai is going to be part of the Targ Mitzvah, so then you have no basis for narrowing it down. You have no basis for selecting certain things and not others, which is a repeat of one of the Rambam's major arguments. Right? So he says, it can't be kilafi mashmasfa lo yitachen levarek satam satam. Aval nitchayev lufi zeh limnot kol din asher sharasho mikubal me'adon hanaviyim alav ha-shalom. Because what do you want to do? You want to count your abundance, you want to count things that learn from the Yugi Olmidot, from Drasho Chazal, just because they have basis in what's Nemar L'Moshe Messinai? You know, do you count your abundance because it's included in, you know, because it's a violation of Lotash, so you can include Drasho Chazal because the methodology is given to us, Messinai, so therefore when we apply them, that's included? If that's the case, you're going to have to count everything. Listen carefully to what he says here. V'tosef imkein kol mitzvot rabbanan zulat ha-takanot v'agzerot. You can include everything that's rabbanan except for gzerot and takanot. You hear what he's saying? What's Rabbi Ben-Aram saying here? This is first of all a fascinating point in itself. Saying that, so in other words, all the things, exactly what we said, right? All things that are learned, that are derived by chachamim, except for gzerot and takanot, which are a subcategory. Right, al minyan asher mina ohar Rambam sa ki eineni choshev. You're gonna have to count everything. Ki eineni choshev ki atah tidmesh ra'uy limnot hamkubal v'lidchot hamfurash. Certainly, you're not going to include that which is implicit, and not include that which is explicit. Right, you're not going to include things that are derived from the yudgil midot, that are derived from right the chachamim. You know, we're able to dig out of the Torah and not include that which is explicit in the Torah. You're not going to include things that are learned from a Kal V'Chomer or from a Gzera Shava and not include something that's a Mash B'Ferish Halacha Moshe Messinai. That couldn't possibly be. And if that's the case, then you're going to end up with an infinite number of mitzvot. How could that be? Okay, that's basically his point here. So, in other words, so what must you do, says Rav Avraham ben Rambam? What you must do is to count that which is, mifurash, that which is mifuah, that which is explicit, and exclude that which is implicit, no matter how valid it is. That's basically what the, and again, I'm reading a very short summary and summarizing even more, but if you read the whole piece by Rav Avraham ben Rambam, that's really what he says here. And it's tremendous support for the approach that we suggested in the beginning. But I want to add one thing. Look at the part that's underlined here. U'me'ashorish hazeh yitba'er bitul kol orov kushyotecha ala sharashim ha'eleh va'anfehem. Asher lo yadah tol tam mitzatam el ba'al sechal ram. Okay, and this is the key. Rav Ram and Aram says that if you understand this distinction between that which is miforash or mivuar and that which is equally valid but is only implicit, it will answer, if not all, at least most of the kashas that you have on Sefer HaMitzvah. Okay? Which is exactly what the point that I'm trying to make here. So now let's return for just a few moments to Shorash Chamishi. You may be wondering, what does this have to do with Shorash Chamishi? I think it has everything to do with it. Shorash Chamishi, and the reason that there's this machlok between the Rambam and Ramban, it's just an outgrowth of everything we've seen so far. Why? It really touches on what is probably the single most fundamental distinction between a more pshat-oriented approach and a more midrash-oriented approach in the realm of halachic text, at least, and to a certain degree narrative as well, but especially halachic text. The truth matters that affects narrative as well. One of the, and if you think about it, you've got to, you know, ask, I'm going to say this very briefly. It's going to take like 3 minutes. And then, but think about this. Think back on all the things you've learned in Parshanut, in analysis of Psukim in Chumash, between different Mefarshim and how different Rishonim approach different texts in Torah. Including in that Parshanut, also not just Chas Mefarshim, but also Midrashei Chazal. And I would argue that this is one of, if not the most fundamental distinction between a more pshat-oriented approach and a more midrashic-oriented approach. When you have different components, when you have different pieces in a pasuk or in a section of Tanakh, do you try to say that each individual component, I'm being deliberately vague because I want to get to the heart of the methodology without the specifics, is your goal and is your direction to explain how each individual component is telling you something discrete, separate, or is it to harmonize and to try to explain how all the individual components may be giving different facets but ultimately are really part and are really pointing to more of one whole? Okay. If you compare, for example, let's say the parish of Rashi on Chumash and the parish of the Ramban, one of the biggest differences between them in methodology, and there are many differences, this is one of the biggest. Okay? Well, then you try to break up people we would probably recognize as more midrashically inclined, such as Rashi, although where I know Rashi says that he's only interested in pshat and that he's not doing midrash, etc. But one puts on a spectrum, right, from on one side midrashei chazal, right, and the other end of the spectrum, people such as Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, right, and you look at that spectrum and put people along that line in terms of how close to the midrashic approach as opposed to a more independent of midrash approach, let's say, you take, one of the, if not the, defining characteristics that distinguishes them is that you'll find consistently that Rashi, Bikvot HaMidrash, right? Rashi falls in the footsteps of the Midrash insofar as he will try to explain how each individual component teaches you something different and distinct. Whereas other Mefarshim will take the same two or three things and certainly not say that they're simply repeating and saying the same thing over, but aspects of the same thing, really ultimately harmonizing them until basically one point is being made. And you can turn to almost any page on Chumash and in Mikra Gedolot and see how this difference in methodology plays out. Okay, I deliberately am not giving you an example because I think it's so easy to find examples of this amongst the Mefarshim that, and, you know, just compare on, you know, just go through a few prakim in any place in Chumash and you'll see how this how this plays out amongst the various mafarshim. That's the point over here. What the Rambam is saying and what the Ramban is saying here, ilu ve'ilu divrei Elokim chayim, they're both saying something that's true. But you have to put what they're saying into the framework of their understanding of Tarig Mitzvot Ne'er Melamosh Mi'Sinai. The Ramban is fundamentally trying to explain the Bahag's approach, and the Rambam is fundamentally critiquing it and giving his own approach. More giving his own approach, but along the way, certainly engaging extensively in critique of the Bahag. The Rambam is talking about Nemra L'moshe Mi'Sinai as he understands it, which means, as he told us very clearly several times, Nemra L'moshe Mi'Sinai in terms of Torah Shebichtav is talking about Pshuto Shel Mikra. He's not negating that there exists a legitimate, valid, true, intended level of Midrash as well that is part of Torah and part of the original Torah, etc. However, that is implicit in the Torah as it's originally given, not explicit. What's explicit is a simple pshat and the halacha l'moshe Mi'Sinai. And therefore, the Rambam says, if I have a pasuk like Lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shalacha lashu v'kachta, etc. V'lo tachtia ta'aret. What is the simple pshat in that pasuk? What is Pshuto Shel Mikra? Pshuto Shel Mikra is that below Tachtia Ta'aretz is the ta'am for the first half of the pasuk. If I work in terms of Pshuto Shel Mikra and my goal is to harmonize and to synthesize, then the second half of the pasuk, right, or the second pasuk, depending on whatever, those are explanations of, they're certainly telling me something further. It's not a repetition. It's telling me something additional. It's saying, this is why, don't do this, because if you do it, then this is going to happen. But it's part of one larger point. It's basically, ultimately, two components of one thing telling me one thing. That's al-derech hapshah. And that's what the Rambam is interested in when he discusses Tarig Mitzvot, Ne'er Melamosh Mi'Sinai. Tarig Mitzvot, Ne'er Melamosh Mi'Sinai, in terms of the pasuk, I don't know, what is Pshuto Shel Mikra? So Pshuto Shel Mikra is telling me one thing, therefore I wouldn't count the second half as a separate issue. What the Ramban is telling me, that Chazal tell me that I also derive an additional piece of information from the second component of the pasuk independently, and I learn a second thing from the second half independent of the first half. Absolutely. That's what you would find in the Mechilta and the Sifra and the Sifrei and Midrashei Chazal and the Gemara. Of course. And the Rambam doesn't negate that as being valid, as being real, as being d'oraisa, etc., in the sense the Ramban means it. But that's the second level, that Chazal will derive from the pasuk above and beyond Pshuto Shel Mikra also this idea that there's also that each component tells me a separate idea, etc., 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 and that's a halacha, and no argument. The Rambam would say, I believe, convinced the Rambam would say, no kasher for all these sugyot, but I would just argue that's not Pshuto Shel Mikra, and therefore that doesn't impact on how I'm going to count the Tarig Mitzvah, as I said in earlier Sharasha. Okay, so I believe that two very simple points I want to make about Sharash Chamishi. Point number one, that what the Rambam and the Ramban are saying really speaks to the very essence of the difference in methodology between different levels of understanding, different aspects of understanding Torah in terms of the more midrashic and the more pshat-oriented aspects, which many Rishonim, Rashbam and others say, are complementary ways of understanding Torah. It's not either or. But the question is, what are you focused on, and what are you trying to do, and what are your goals in, you know, what are you focused on at this particular moment? Just as you might focus on a particular aspect of a sugya, and be dealing with one particular issue doesn't mean that everything else in it is not real or true or whatever. It means that's not what you're focusing on. That's not what you're doing at the moment. The same thing is true here. That's point number one. And point number two is, again, point number one is that there's this important difference between methodology, between a more pshat-oriented and more midrashic approach. And number two, that ultimately this shoresh and the discussion, the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, ultimately the Baha'i here, is part of a larger picture of, as the Rav Ramban Aram points out, there's really one fundamental point that is at the heart of many, many, many of the machlokasim that you'll find between the Baha'i and the Ramban on one side and the Rambam on the other side. And it's very important to keep that in mind at all times. It's not the answer necessarily to everything, but it certainly, certainly is at the core of many of the things in terms of how we understand many of the things that go on between Rambam Baha'i and the Ramban throughout Sefer Mitzvah. Okay.